This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
With five unrestricted free agents and one restricted, it looks like a huge transition this offseason on the back end for the Flames. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, episode number 58, as we cruise through the NHL pods, May 10th, 2020. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you with us on the Hockey Podcast Network and flamesunfiltered.com. There is not a lot of Flames news to report, but we're going to do our best to take our minds off the daily struggles of COVID-19 as we roll into, I thought I saw day 60. Is that right? Seems like day 600. On a good news, got to see my mom today on Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. That was nice. It's funny how important family becomes in tough times, and how much you miss them when you can't go be right with them. Yeah, it makes it difficult. I've also been filling my time during the quarantine with homeschooling. That's a interesting thing. I had to give my wife 95% of the credit there, as she's been tackling that task with our three children. And another thing I've done to escape during this is golf. I've played more rounds this year than I did all last year, and I'm not lying, for two reasons. One, because it's something to take my mind off of COVID-19, and not having hockey makes it, it gives me a little bit more free time to go and do that. Number two, I'm trying to get a little bit more fit, and I played golf through college at a competitive level. And then I put the clubs away for quite some time and didn't play a whole lot. And now I have tried to make it an inner battle this year to resurrect my game and see how low I can drag that handicap down. And I've also enjoyed this year playing a lot of golf with my dad. My dad's a very, very good golfer. He's 75 years old now. He has shot his score multiple times, and that is something that not a lot of people do, and not a lot of people get to go out to the links and spend the time with their dad, and I am going to take advantage of that for as long as I possibly can. And so that was one of my bucket list goals as the new year came. Little did I know the new year would bring us what it has brought us. And through the challenges, that is one positive that I have found out of it. The most important positive I found out of this is that me, my family, my parents, and my extended family are healthy. Not that this hasn't been with some mental struggles and some challenges through this for everybody in society. Mental health is one thing that I worry about, and we trudge through it, thankful every day for our health and our happiness. And I think if one positive comes out of this in the world, it's learned for all of us maybe to take just a little bit of a step back in the day-to-day hectic life that we live. And yeah, it's kind of been a reset. As we ease back into normalcy, I see it bring smiles to the faces of my kids, and also brings scares in the fact that we are in uncharted water going out into public just a little bit more, and although being very careful when we do that. It's an interesting time in the world today, and it's an interesting time missing Calgary Flames hockey. So let's get into another episode, episode 58. We planned on doing this twice a week all year. And then in the playoffs, we'd see how our teams were doing. I would be praying that the Flames would still be playing now, but we don't know. During this NHL pause, we are doing the show on the Hockey Podcast Network. Every Monday it releases on the Hockey Podcast Network, and every Wednesday, or excuse me, Tuesday, it releases on Flames Unfiltered. And yeah, we're going to keep going once a week here until we see where this NHL pause takes us. But on today's show, we're going to dive deep into the Calgary Flames defense for next season. A defensive core that has five UFAs pending and one restricted free agent and numerous unanswered questions. I will give you my plan and the direction I think it will go, and I guess the direction I think I hope it should go. And then we will update the current NHL and the coronavirus as it stands right now. And then it's time to talk some various Flames news. Is there a little bit of Flames news out there? Not a whole lot, but we'll take advantage of everything we can get. And then we answer a listener question about who should be this year's MVP. Not an easy answer. But let's sit back, enjoy, and let's escape for another episode of Flames Unfiltered.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk the back end. Last week's episode, we talked about the goaltending, where we thought that direction would head as we roll into next season. I know we're still waiting to see what the hell happens with this season, but in this time, which normally would be our off season, hopefully not. Maybe we'd still be playing playoffs, but yeah, we don't know how much of an off season we're going to have, so we're kind of doing off-season duties during the NHL pause. So this week we'll talk about the defense. Next week we'll roll on into the forwards, talk salary cap after that, and roll on to kind of what our game plan would be if I was in Brad Treliving's shoes. Now let's see where the current defense stands. Right now, this season, we have, with the nine defense that are currently playing for the Flames, we have $25,487,000 in cap. We have Brody and Giordano on line one, Half and Hamonic, followed by Anderson and Gustafson, with Shillington, Forbert, Stone, kind of all filling that role, depending on where we'd be. We have young star Yusuf Alamaki sitting on injured reserve, as that guy has been plagued with injuries, and we hope that yearly problem is rid itself this year as he nears a comeback. Let's kind of roll through the guys and see where we stand right now. Rasmussen, 23 years old, just signed a contract that'll go through 2025-26. $4.45 million cap, and that is a good extension in everybody's minds. And he's a guy that will grow with this top four as we go through the years. And a solid stay-at-home defenseman that is capable of putting up 20 minutes on a nightly basis. Of course, we still have our rock back there, Captain Mark Giordano, 36 years old right now, making $6.75. That contract goes through the 2021-22 season. And although he is not having that Norris Trophy caliber season that he did last year, he is definitely a first-pairing defense. And his attributes this year, to me, are just as important as they were last year to this team. He's not putting up as many points, but this team goes where Mark Giordano takes it. And I know some people might argue that with me and say he's not having a good year this year. Yeah, he's not having as good of a year number-wise, but did we really think that he was going to have that good of a year again? Seriously, no. We didn't. At least we shouldn't have. And if we did, we were wrong. Now let's roll on and talk about other guys. These are all guys that are signed for next season. And we roll on to Noah Hanifin, who's also 23 years old. But I think One of the things with Noah Hanifin that kind of upsets me a little bit is he makes 4.95, which is a great salary through 2023-24, as he was acquired in the Carolina Hurricanes as part of that Dougie Hamilton deal. Now, Noah Hanifin, to me, gets kind of a bad rap because people treat this guy like he's a 28-year-old veteran. This guy's a 23-year-old offensive defenseman. He's everything that every general manager wants as far as quick feet, puck moving. Holy cow, like, why do we rip on this guy at all? He was a fifth overall pick in 2015, and this guy is big and mobile, and I'll tell you what, there is extreme upside on this guy. I would be very upset if the Flames move Noah Hanifin. I think he's kind of come under unfair criticism this year by many in the Flames fan base. And I think we need to take a step back and look at really how good he has been for just a 23-year-old. Oliver Shillington, we act like he's about 6 or 8 years younger than Noah Hanifin, but he's only 1 year younger. He's a restricted free agent. We'll see what happens with Oliver Shillington. There's numerous times this year that I was very happy with him and numerous times I was very unhappy with him. Now, he's kind of stuck in that mushy middle where he's probably too talented to be an American Hockey League player, but probably not talented enough to be an everyday NHLer. I love his skating ability. Where I feel like Shillington struggles a little bit is in quick decision making. I feel like his quick decision making in the defensive zone puts him in some unfavorable situations. He's 22. There is time, and I'm not willing to give up on this guy, and I hope that he gets re-signed. Now, I wouldn't give him a big price tag, and I wouldn't give him a long term, but I do feel like he could be an everyday NHLer on that third pairing for the Flames next year. The fifth guy we'll talk about, another, the other one under contract, is Yusuf Alamäki, the 21-year-old who continues in his entry-level contract at $894,000 through next year, and this guy has had problem after problem after problem. He was lost this year because of an ACL injury, surgery, and then recovery. But this guy is for real. He is top-notch defense, finished product, who we got to see a little bit of last year and a little bit of the year before. But this guy looks a lot like a very young Mark Giordano. He's a strong player, and he's getting stronger and bigger every day. He's high-end in all three zones. That's what we really got in Yusuf Alamäki. I like our defensive core. It could be decimated, though, with the amount of players that we are or could possibly be losing. And we'll talk a little bit more of that when we dive into the UFAs. Summer signings. Brad Treliving also looked at the depth chart on Cap Friendly, like all of us can, and said, this guy, we're not as stocked as we probably want to be. And he solved a little bit of that this summer by signing Jonas Sinevall from Sweden, the young defenseman, likened to maybe a David Riddick signing, where we're kind of taking a shot on a high upside potential. He was signed on a two-year deal at $925,000, and we'll see what we get from him next year in, I'm assuming, Stockton of the American Hockey League. Treliving went out also and signed two NCAA high-end prospects that were undrafted, Colton Pullman from the University of North Dakota and Connor Mackey from Minnesota State Mankato. Both guys very capable and good upside for both of them. Mackey, a 23-year-old, Pullman, a 24-year-old. I like both these guys, and I don't know that one of these two maybe isn't filling a spot maybe on that Flames roster next year, depending on what happens with the UFAs. And let's talk a little bit about the uncertainty as Calgary currently sits with five unrestricted defensemen. Now, that is way more than Brad Treliving wants to deal with in a summer that we don't know when the hell this summer is going to actually start. Let's talk the biggest one right away, and that's TJ Brody. 29 years old, currently making $4.65 million. TJ Brody has had a Jekyll and Hyde career, I would label it, with the Flames. Also a guy somewhat like Hanifin this year that kind of fell under the bad graces of fans early in the year and kind of came out of it as the season progressed. I like TJ Brody. I thought TJ Brody, you know what his biggest knock in my mind is he lacks consistency. He goes through stretches where he looks like he is the worst defenseman in the National Hockey League, and then he'll go through stretches where he is just very, very solid. When he is paired with Mark Giordano, I love the TJ Brody we have. I think when he gets away from Giordano, he falls out of that comfort zone, and that's when I think we see some of the things that we see with Shillington with poor decision making in the defensive zone. Brody does bring that offensive upside, though. He is a great puck moving defenseman. At 29 years old, he's not the youngest guy anymore. My fear here is, what kind of dollar amount are we willing to give Brody? And the biggest thing I think that might be the hindrance on re-signing Brody is that term that he's probably going to want. He's going to want a long-term contract, nor do I blame him. But I don't know if me or Calgary management feel that maybe he's worthy of the time frame that he's willing to ask for. Travis Hamonic, also 29 years old. Why does Travis Hamonic seem a lot older than 29? Not that he looks older or one doesn't play older, but I don't know. He just seems like he's his name's been around the league for a long time. He's making $3.86 million now, and that contract expires. Where do we go with Travis Hamonic? Hamonic, a defenseman acquired from the New York Islanders, who had asked for a trade wanting to get out to Western Canada. He lands in Calgary, and now is possibly finding a new home. One of the greatest advantages of getting Hamonic is that he is a top-notch team player, and at a 3.86, he was an incredible, incredible value. Where do we go with Travis Hamonic? Is he in the future of the Calgary Flames? Now, at the trade deadline last year, we picked up two 28-year-old defensemen, an Erik Gustafsson and a Derek Forbert. Forbert makes $1.89 million, Gustafsson $1.2 million. Derek Forbert, known more as a big back-end stayed-home defenseman, where Gustafsson was more that offensive puck-moving run-and-gun defenseman. I was happy, honestly, with both of them down the stretch in the little bit of time we saw them from trade deadline to NHL pause. Probably a little bit more happy with Gustafsson. Some people might argue that one with me, but I kind of liked what I saw from Gustafsson. Forbert, I thought, was okay on certain nights and not okay on other nights. That fifth defenseman that's running on the final year, well, 1 year contract at $700,000 is 29-year-old Michael Stone. Long story with Michael Stone. He is also a buyout, which was an odd circumstance where the Flames bought him out last year and then ran into defensive trouble with Valimaki getting hurt and then were forced to re-sign him. Something that many of us thought, is this even legal or possible to do? But something that happened. Calgary is still on the hook. One more year at $1.16 million for Michael Stone. Will they re-sign him as at 7th, 8th defenseman security blanket? He, I don't know, falls under bad graces with many Calgary Flames fans. I know his analytics aren't amazing, but what I think Michael Stone brings is a calming factor. I love his shot from the point. Some defensive difficulties at times, but what did we expect from Michael Stone? Who is that seventh man in my mind that does a great, great job as that? Now, with so many leaving, many people ask the question, well, are the Flames going to sign any UFAs? And if they would, well, who could they sign? Well, if they wanted to open up the checkbook for $7.5 million, they could probably get Alex Pietrangelo. Or maybe not. But the real question is, how much are we willing to spend? With a Justin Schultz, Tyson Barrie, Mike Green, Torrey Krug, Sammy Vatanen, all these guys hitting the free agency market. Does Calgary take a chance on one of those guys? How much are we willing to pay? In my mind, I'd be disappointed if we took anybody at 4.5 or higher. Quite honestly, with where the cap is and the uncertainty of where the cap is, I don't know how the hell they could. But who would you sign? Or would you sign the guys you have? Hamonic's age does not look bad at 29, comparatively speaking, to a lot of the other UFAs that are out there. Either does TJ Brody at 30. Is it sometimes better to keep the guys you have? But then there lies the question, is it mathematically possible for the Flames to get both Brody and Hamonic? Maybe it would have been pre-coronavirus when the cap was going up. As a matter of fact, I did a show earlier in the year where I said we need to sign both of these guys again. Both for different reasons. Now, I think now we have to have at least one of them signed to solidify our top six. And if we get one, I feel pretty comfortable. I think Brody will be a little bit more expensive, and I also think he'll demand a longer term. And now that's where I feel like the worry comes in. How long do you go with Brody? With Giordano coming up for UFA status here in a year or so, 2 years, excuse me. I don't know. I would love it if we got Brody for 2 years at 4.5, or that'd be a pay cut, which he may be getting a pay cut with the way the cap situation is going to go. But where will we stand on Hamonic? Hamonic's a little more injury prone. But could you ask for more of a game player than Travis Hamonic? Does anybody go down to block a shot or stick his life on the line? Drop the gloves for a teammate like Travis Hamonic? Is there a better guy in the locker room? Is there a tougher, old school player than Travis Hamonic? That being said, that's the guy in my mind you go out and get. You lock him up for 3 years. I wouldn't go longer than 3 years because of his injury prone. I think you could get him between $4 and $5 million. And I think you'd be happy. So that being said, here's what I would do. I would have Giordano with Anderson next year as my top pairing. I would have buddies Hanifin and Hamonic next year, just like they are this year. And then I would have young star Yusuf Alamaki with Gustafsson, who I would re-sign in a two-year deal max at $2 million. I think you could get that in today's market. And then you have Shillington as that seventh man. And if Shillington can't fill that void, or Shillington doesn't get re-signed or wants more money than what management's willing to give him, which I wouldn't give him over $800,000, then I think you fall back and you re-sign Michael Stone for one more year at $700,000 as your seventh man. And then you have guys like Mackie Poolman, Chenevil. You got all those guys waiting in the wings to fill in that seventh spot, have an injury happen, which will happen. Do I like that defensive core as much as I like this year's? I don't know if we could get Brody in there too. Could you imagine if we could get Brody and Hamonic both signed and have Giordano, Anderson, Hanifin, Hamonic, Valimaki, Brody with Shillington in that seventh spot? Yeah. That would be good. Or even Gustafsson filling that seventh spot. That would even be better. Then I like that plan even more than this year's defense. I consider this a transition year for the defense. I'm not extremely worried about it. Now I will be if we lose both Brody and Hamonic. But I like some of the new young talent that Treliving has infused into this decor. And I love the Anderson signing. I love Hamonic. I love that Valimaki is going to be healthy. We get some of those guys re-signed. I don't mind our defensive core at all going into next year.
Inside Edge Hockey News is your source for top-notch NHL podcasts, news, and rankings. Check out InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
All right, NHL update on the coronavirus as we continue on pause. On this week's weekly conference call, Brad Treliving said that he likes the momentum building for restarting the season. He said there's nothing firm yet or official, and the situation is fluid due to differences in markets to market, but the NHL looks like it's pushing towards a go. Now, with that being said, it's also looking like the NHL is headed more towards going straight to a playoff system where we don't see a regular season finishing, and we see the Flames jumping straight to a playoff situation. Even though the league really, really, really badly wanted to finish the regular season, it doesn't look like it's going to be possible. Team motivation of the teams out of the playoffs was part of the reason that kind of pisses me off, because you could say that, hey, they're being paid, they need to play. And number two, they're playing for their future. And number three, they weren't motivated before, so what the hell's the difference? This bothers me when I hear that. This is stuff I expect to hear out of the NBA, not out of young NHL hockey players. But that's where we stand. So if we went to a playoff system right away after a camp, they're talking over a 16-team playoff system, a 20-team playoff system, and a 24-team playoff system, with all trends leading towards going with the 24. That would make the Blackhawks and Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs, which is odd since both these teams were sellers at the deadline. That would be interesting. Testing seems to be the key to the return. It's also the biggest hurdle for the return based on availability and cost and just sheer logistics of testing players on a extremely, extremely frequent basis. But the problem lies, you wouldn't just be testing players. You'd have to test officials, staff. There's a lot more that takes to put this together. That being said, without fans in the building and the income coming from the fans, that brings the worry about financial costs of return. And this is something that the league is starting to worry about, with the costs of cleaning, testing, and all the changes necessary to hold games with no fans. The money lies as a problem. Right now, the league is currently weighing if a return would be financially beneficial or not. All systems look like the NHL really, really wants to get back. Us as fans really, really, really want that also. But at what cost? And maybe, just maybe, would it be better to just hit the reset button and move and look towards next year?
CoolHockey.com is your number one source for authentic and customized NHL jerseys. Use promo code THPN and receive 25% off your order. CoolHockey.com.
CoolHockey.com. Jerseys online since 99.
Hey, Flames fans, go to CoolHockey.com. Purchase a Cool Hockey jersey before June 1st using the promo code THPN. It's going to get you 30% off. Plus, if you go to coolhockey.com/THPN, when you buy the jersey, you'll get entered in a contest, and a winner will be drawn Saturday, June 6th. Winner gets a $175 gift card to coolhockey.com. Thanks to our friends at the Hockey Podcast Network and coolhockey.com. Now some Flames news. And some good Flames news, as Mark and his wife, Lauren Giordano, continue their acts of kindness this past week paying for numerous people's groceries in a local Walmart. Very nice and a very class act from a very, very classy guy, Mark Giordano, captain of the Calgary Flames. Saddle Dome staff has spent a great deal of time in the last few weeks ensuring that the Saddle Dome has received the highest level of cleaning possible in case of a Flames return. It is ready for Flames players as soon as they get the go-ahead to return. And we all hope that happens because I'm having a little bit of hockey withdrawals. Now, I was getting to be okay with it when the summer was starting to get going and we had some nice weather and I was golfing and I'm like, are we in hockey off season now? Can we feel that way? Yeah, then it snowed yesterday. I'm ready for hockey again. Treliving says there hasn't been any more direction on a date for the 2020 NHL draft, but he reiterates that they will be ready for the draft as soon as the league decides. He says he believes that there will end up being a virtual draft regardless of the date it ends up being. A lot of push was for that draft to be in June. It is undetermined, and it sounds like an announcement could come in the coming week on when an exact date will be set. Treliving also says that he will be an American League conference call later this past week, and he should know more about the fate of the season, and an announcement is probable for this week on exactly where the NHL goes. But I think there's a lot of determining factors that still are unknown. Number one being the testing. I'm not sure we're going to get an answer this week, but I know a lot of the league officials would really like that. On some other good news, we'll end with our last bit of Flames news with more good news. And that is today, the Flames Foundation donated $265,000 to the COVID community support program, including $100,000 for iPads for virtual visits for hospital rooms and senior facilities, which is very, very important and critical during this time of quarantine and getting the proper medical help that we need. I was doing good in the city, the Calgary Flames, and I hope everybody in the city remembers that when it comes to arena funding and things like that. And yeah, we went down that battle road before. Time to go on to listener question. And this is another good one. 2 weeks in a row, we just keep getting good, good questions from our listeners. And thank you. We keep those coming via Twitter, email me, whatever you got to do. We love getting your questions. And this week's one, it stumped me. I didn't know what to say. But I finally made my decision after 48 hours of thinking about it. And the question is, assuming the NHL season is over, who would you give the Calgary Flames MVP for the 2019-2020 season? I'm not going to lie. My first thought went to Elias Lindholm. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for him. I really loved where his game went this year with being moved from wing to center for a while, then back to wing. I learned one thing. I learned he's capable of being a top-end center in this league, and I do still believe that he will be a top-line center for the Calgary Flames, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week as we dive deep into the forwards. But this year's MVP, as much as I wanted to give it to Lindholm, and the more I thought about it, how can you give it to anybody other than Matthew Tkachuk? Matthew Tkachuk in 69 games, 23 goals, 38 assists, 61 points for the forward. Not his career year, which was 77 points, which was set last year, but he was tracking for 72 points. And the reason I gave him the final nod was I look at how much and the timing of his goals this year. This guy was bang on and won some big games for this team. Yes, the between the legs goal in Nashville stands out. How could it not? But there was a lot of situations this year where I just thought, yeah, Matthew Tkachuk took that game over and got us a point or got us 2 points. This is what this guy brings to this team. He's not always flashy every night. And yes, I was critical of him on numerous nights for nights when it looked like he didn't have it shifted into fourth gear every night. But he's a gamer. He's Matthew Tkachuk, and he's my pick for Calgary Flames MVP this season.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
Well, we currently are headed toward week 8 of the NHL pause. It seems like forever since we watched on this Sunday night, just like tonight, the Flames lose to the Vegas Golden Knights 5-3. In a game that I thought was, I don't know what you guys thought was, I thought it was damn entertaining. It was a really, really good game. Will we have hockey back? Flames management seems to be real high on it this week. So is the NHL. There are some work to do, and I have my doubts, but I still also have my hopes. Here at Flames Unfiltered, we still dredge through the unknown. Be safe out there. Keep away. Keep clean. Wash your hands. Care for the elderly. Help out a friend in need or anybody else who needs groceries or necessities who are unable to get them during this time of need. Enjoy this week. We thank you for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Next week, we dive deep into the offense. What should the Flames do with the offense? We'll answer that question next week. I'm Brad Brood, flamesunfiltered.com. Thanks for listening. Check out all the podcasts on the Hockey Podcast Network with your free time this week. Take care. See you next week, Flames fans.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.